Hello there, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the 13th chapter of Mark with its 37 verses, the translation and commentary, and also we have the continuation of the consecration message that we were doing yesterday, and also a phone room response here with the Lord to anoint this service with this outward anointing. Father, we thank and praise your holy name. Because you're God, and you have outlined in your word, the Bible, exactly how it is that we are able to make it into the kingdom of heaven. There's no guesswork any longer. Those that say that God is arbitrary are liars. Lord, you're not arbitrary at all. You are exact, and you tell us exactly how it is that we get into the kingdom of heaven. We must give up our old careers or our ideas of careers and be sacrifices that are acceptable unto you, to give ourselves to you, to let you do with us the things that you are desirous of doing in and through us so that it can be a true work of the Lord. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you take over this service. Open up everyone's spirit. Awaken our spirits, Lord. We are to resurrect ourselves on a daily basis, be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be anointed with the Holy Spirit, to be instant in and out of season to witness and testify, or to be able to know when to go in and go out, what to say and what not to say. And we praise and thank you, Lord, for the guidance of the Comforter. You stated that the Comforter would teach us all things. And so that shows us that the Bible shows us the very outline of how to get into the kingdom of heaven. And also the Bible tells us how that we must walk in the Spirit so that we would be able, and we are able, to know the leading of your Spirit. Now, it doesn't show us in your word what we're supposed to do exactly today, or if we're to take this freeway or that freeway, and that's why it's important for us to know the whole Bible, which tells us what sin is and what righteousness is. And also, the word tells us that we must be led by the Spirit so we know where to go, what to do, what to say and what not to say at the very all throughout every day, on a daily basis, one day at a time. So, Lord, we pray that you'll edify the church and that the people out in the world, in radio land here, will hear this message and even tape it so that it'll save us a lot of money in sending tapes to people because we don't charge. It would be good if everyone in radio land would be ready with their tape recorders to tape these messages, so that they can pass them on to others and that they can review them in the future. Lord, let souls be saved, let the church be edified, let people come to the realization of that we must be one body that enters into the kingdom of heaven and that we can't enter in individually. We must be part of the group or the corporate body, which is only one body of Christ, and that's it. All these different denominations, Lord, cannot be. It has to be one body, one denomination, born of the Spirit Christians, all helping one another and moving in this world as a mighty Christian army, using spiritual weapons, no carnal weapons whatsoever, and preaching your word, which is the greatest weapon in the entire universe. That's the weapon that you use, Jesus, and that's the weapon we use. Lord, we pray that you will destroy all the works of Satan, every satanic force that is coming against your church, your body, the bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem. Destroy them, Lord. Resist them. You said whatsoever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And Lord, we ask that you bind it. We come against it, which means that, and we know that when we bind it, that you will bind it in heaven. And so that we're trusting that you're going to do that. For we've asked it, all the different things, and we ask, Lord, that you provide finances enough for us to help these refugees and all the other Christians that are wanting to move in, newly born again Christians that want to move into our facilities, and so that we're able to buy more facilities for them, because we're running out of them very quickly, and that we have more finances to get more literature out and more tapes out throughout the world. Lord, we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the, what are you going to read first here?
A phone room response.
All right.
A born-again Christian, Louisa Thacker, from Covington, Louisiana, called to say that she had just heard the Tony Lamo Christian radio broadcast and would love to have all Pastor Lamo's gospel literature and cassette taped messages. She said, quote, "I've heard many pastors, but not any, speak the way Pastor Lamo speaks. He speaks straight from the hip. Others do not speak tactfully, but Pastor Lamo is very compassionate. He has a way of saying it perfectly. This sister's request has been sent to both the mail and tape departments."
Right. Well, the reason that I'm able to say it just perfectly is because it's not me talking. I pray before each message that the Lord will speak through me. And it's the Lord. There's no one that can be any more perfect than the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so we must be fully armed and armored with His Word, and it takes many years to do that. And I'm not trying to discourage young people from that it will take years. You can preach, you just can't teach. You can give your testimonies, and praise the Lord, we want as many people giving their testimonies out in the world, and what you know, be telling people, and for you to become distributors of this literature and these tapes. And it's all, you know, we'll set you up like that so that you have a ministry of your own, and you'll be getting exactly the same rewards we will in the kingdom of heaven. I surely can't do it alone. Jesus couldn't do it alone as one human body, and that's why he said that we as a corporate body of millions of people would do a greater job than even he did, because his spirit with the Father by the Spirit is living in millions of us and has been for the past 2,000 years. And so we're able to cover more territory and cover more quickly, because the Lord said he's going to do a quick work, a fast work in these last days, and be part of it, all right? Get the literature and tapes from us so that you can distribute them. And even if you have to use your house as a, or your basement or your living room as a church, start playing the tapes and read the literature and read the Bible to each other. We can have like thousands of churches, all right? And we'll support you with the literature and Bibles and everything else. We're not, listen, people that are really Christians are givers, they're not takers. And we want you to prosper as your soul prospers, because the Lord wants you to do that. All right, now where's the next letter from?
From New York. "My sincere greetings to Pastor Lamo and his ministry. May God bless you. I am writing to thank you for the literature that you have sent me, and at the same time, I take advantage to request more literature, especially the literature entitled The Pope's Secrets, Weight, and Others. I feel very grateful to God and to you for giving me the privilege of you leading me in the Lord's way through His Word. We are to more than ever seek the Word of God and follow His ways and save our souls, because we live in times of trials, temptations, and for all the things that are coming to pass. Worst times will come to pass, and we need to prepare ourselves. I desire to be saved along with my family. I sent the previous literature to my country, Nicaragua, and I hope to continue sending them more. I will be sending a small tithe with all humility, but with lots of love. May God continue pouring many blessings on you to all your ministry. May the peace of Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Angela Lescano from Bronx, New York."
Right, send her lots of literature, the Messiah book. Send her, lots of literature, and send her some of the tapes, too. Now, would you please read this first verse in Psalm 116, please?
"I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice
and
my
supplication." Oh, wait. I love the Lord, and the psalmist David gives the reason, because he has heard my voice. I mean, you know, people have a deaf ear to you in this world, but the psalmist David says, "I love the Lord because he hears my words. he bows his or inclines his ear unto me. That's really something, because this is God that you're talking to, and you know, God can do anything. And when you're asking the Lord something, and that's why when you read it, it doesn't gel into people's souls the way some people read. They just read it fast, like it's a typewriter going really quick. But if you meditate on that first verse, I love the Lord, and here's the reason why, is what the psalmist David is saying. It's because he hears my voice, my prayers. Because, you know, in this world today, we've got all kinds of trouble, and you should love the Lord because he'll incline his ear or bow, in other words, stretch his head towards you. Like when I'm wanting to hear when somebody's saying, I think they're going to be saying something that's really important, I stretch my neck a little closer to where they are, because just so that I can make sure to catch everything that they're saying. Because it sounds like it might be important. But you know, when you're reading the Bible, everything that you read is important. So the psalmist says, I love the Lord because he hears me. My God, that's something that God Almighty takes the time out to hear anyone. He says, everyone or all that call upon the name of the Lord, he'll hear you and he'll save you. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you should love the Lord because he hears you. Amen?
Amen.
And if you call on him, he'll hear you and answer you and show you great and mighty things. He inclines his ear unto you. He bows his head. Now, can you read the rest, but not so fast, like a typewriter? Read it again.
I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications.
And my prayers. Then the next verse.
Because he hath inclined his ear.
Because he hath inclined his ear. Read it.
Because he hath inclined his ear unto me.
Unto me, Psalmist David's little shepherd boy says, even me, a little shepherd boy. So the Lord took King Saul and put him on a dunghill, this great king, and set the little shepherd boy on the throne of Israel. Amen?
Amen.
And so he loves the Lord because he listens to those that love him. He inclines his ears, or he bows his or bends his ear towards you to listen to what you got to say. He knows that when you're talking to him, if you're sincere with your prayers, with your speech, and he loves you, and you should love him because he's listening to you if you're really sincere. But when people say, we're going to call it a day of prayer, you know, everybody get together, we're going to call it a day of prayer, and blah, 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 blah. And they're bombing people all over the world. God is not going to listen to you. As a matter of fact, he's going to curse you and curse the country. And some people say, well, he doesn't curse me. Look at me. I'm all dressed up in a brand new suit, and I'm sitting in the White House or wherever, or in the Pentagon over at the world government, but you don't know that you don't have cancer infesting your body, and it's for sure that you're going to face God one of these days. Now, finish. Do that verse 2 again.
Because he hath inclined.
I love the Lord because he's inclined his what?
His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him.
Because I know that he's listening. Therefore I'll call on him. Listen, I mean, I know he's listening, therefore I'll call upon him. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because he listens. Well, if you've got troubles, if you've got some kind of a problem, like you're sick, or your loved ones are sick, or your loved ones are not saved, and you want them to be saved, call upon the Lord. Love him because he's going to hear you. And he's going to incline his ear unto you. He's going to bend or bow his ear unto you and listen. Read that again, verse 2.
Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live.
I know that he's listening to me all the time, so as long as I live, I'm going to call on to this God that bends his ear to me, that inclines his ear, because I know he's hearing me. My God, my Lord, and my God, God is listening to me. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That should, it just gives me cold shivers. Amen?
Amen.
That's why you've got to like listen to the word, you know, and realize what the psalmist is saying here. You know, all the battles that he had and everything, he never died on the battlefield. He died in bed. Because of the fact that he did something wrong, you know, committed adultery with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, or Bathshua, they call her. He got no heat. But, you know, he made it into heaven because of the fact that he confessed what he did and never did it again. There's some people who just keep sinning over and over again. But, you know, you have to realize also that David didn't have the power, the fullness of the Godhead bodily living in him. He didn't have Christ with the Father by the Spirit living in him, and so he still was able to keep the commandments if he had wanted to. But now we have no excuse because we have the full power of God in us. And if you don't have the full power of God in you, all you have to do is love the Lord because he hears you. He hears you. He hears your prayer, your supplication. And he answers you, and therefore, because he does that, you should call upon him all the days of your life. Because whether you believe it or not, you try crying out to God. I mean, if you're keeping the commandments now, if you get saved, first ask to get saved. Get the Lord in you, ask and invite him into you to wash all your filthy sins away and give you a new life, the eternal life, immortal life. Let him live in you and sacrifice your body, consecrated unto him, so that he can do his work in and through you. Don't plan a career for yourself. Some people come into the body of Christ and say, I'm going to be an evangelist. Let the Lord decide whether you're going to be an evangelist, or I'm going to be a gospel singer. I don't care if you can sing or not. Don't be saying that. I can sing too. But I didn't want to be anything except whatever the Lord wanted me to be. I wanted to go and witness and testify to the movie stars and the singers because I was familiar with that type of people. But the Lord, I just wanted to do what the Lord said, and he says, you got to go down on the streets with these dirty, filthy hippies and get the gospel to them because they're the ones that really need a physician. They're ones that really need to be saved. And boy, I didn't want it, but Susie said, you're going to do what the Lord said or you're going to be lost. I said, well, let's go. And so she stuffed a bunch of tracts that we got at the Free Tract Society, because I wasn't writing literature at that time. I didn't know that I could, and I couldn't at that time. I had to pray to the Lord to be able to do that. And I didn't know the word well enough. I was just a baby Christian. And so we went to the Free Tract Society and bought tracts and then put it. And she said, now let's stuff them in these paper bags. And I says, I'm not going to go down the street with paper bags because, you know, people will just think I'm some kind of a person that's a garbage picker or something like that. I'm not. And people know me as, they'll think I went crazy. So we put them, carried them in our hands and also in a little carrying bag like that. And I went down there and I saw that the hippies were accepting the gospel immediately. And the other people, the people that were the down-and-outer high-class people were not accepting the gospel. And so that's how the Jesus movement started all over the world. But remember, you know, the Lord is hearing you. And, you know, what could be easier than praying? It's as easy as breathing. And, you know, the Lord says to pray always, and it's very easy to do it. All you have to do is just whisper, Lord God, you know, should I go here? Should I take this route today? Or should I go over here? Or Lord, will you please save my loved ones? Will you save my my daughter or my son is in the hospital right now? Lord, heal her. You've already healed her or him. And I just want her or him to receive her healing. You've already provided. You said, by my stripes, you were, past tense, healed. And so let him or her receive that healing. And I know you're listening to me, Lord, because your word says so. And I love you because you're hearing my voice. And I'm loving you, Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're answering my prayers. You hear me and you answer me and you show me great and mighty things. Lord, and also make all my ways prosperous. And Lord, you see all the evil that's happening in this world. Before you have to send more tsunamis and hurricanes, and before you have to send more earthquakes to destroy all these men, women, and children, sinners, Lord, let them repent. Arise up an army of people, Father, that will take these gospel pieces of literature to everybody on earth and let them set up little churches in their houses or their business places so that people can be invited. Let people know that we're concerned about them, and let the signs that you mentioned in your word follow all those that believe. I believe you're hearing, Lord, and I know you're answering. You're listening to my supplications. And you don't have us praying for nothing, for naught. You're having us pray because you hear and you answer. All who call upon the name of the Lord, everyone, shall be saved. And they shall continue in salvation. They shall continue in salvation so long as they continue in my word, the keeping of the commandments. All right? Okay, now we have the continuation, I believe, right? Is that what we're ready for now? Of the consecration message, which is, this is what I've just been talking about. Consecrate yourself every day to pray. There isn't anything that you could possibly do in this world that's more important than keeping the commandments of the Lord and praying to Him, and because He's hearing you. I mean, can you believe the Almighty God that created everything in the world? And He's capable of doing anything you ask, if you ask in the name of Jesus, that He's hearing you. And He promises to, if you're keeping His commandments, to do whatever you ask. Amen. As long as it's scriptural. Amen.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to be sick or your loved ones to be sick. He doesn't want you to be in tragedy. He doesn't want you to be unlawfully prosecuted. Call on the Lord if your loved ones or yourself are in a bind and the government is... judges are giving you the business. Call on Him and ask Him that the Lord will save the judge and make him render just decisions. Call on Him if you are low on finances, and have Him open up doors for you in one way or the other, either with a job or just that He'll send a pigeon with the money in its beak. Yeah, God can do everything. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, so let's continue here with consecration. Consecrate yourself to the Lord, and then all things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Consecrate yourself to the Lord God, and all things, everything, shall be added unto you. You never see the seed of the righteous begging bread. Amen?
Amen.
David said, I was young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the seed, in other words, the children of righteous people, ever begging bread. When you see people begging bread, that means that they're not righteous yet, and you need to witness and testify to them. Whenever we see people on the street that are homeless and they're standing on the corner, in the middle of the street asking for finances, we always shoot a piece of literature out to them, and we give them $1, $2, $5, whatever. The Lord leads us to give them sometimes a little more. Or if they're veterans and they can't work or something like that, we help them out. But we don't really give money to people that much on the streets because we're afraid to buy drugs or alcohol with it. So the main thing we do is we'll feed them. But call on the Lord, and He'll guide you in everything that you do. Now let's continue with consecration.
We have to put an end to all of our relationships.
Right. Any relationship that is not... that doesn't line itself up with the Lord, you can witness to Him, but you have to put an end to Him. If you're, for even your parents, if they or your family come against you because you've just become a Christian And they want to say that you're brainwashed and mind-controlled because the Spirit of the Almighty God has entered into your body with Christ and the Holy Spirit. Then you have to just divorce yourself from them. That's all there is to it. They're brainwashed. They think you're brainwashed. Satan has brain-dirtied them, and you're now brainwashed by the Lord. And they think that's something evil, that you're going to live a nice, clean life now, that you're not going to be taking drugs, alcohol, or out fornicating, or if you have repented from being a homosexual or a lesbian, or a liar, a thief, a drug peddler, a pimp, a prostitute. Why, now you're fine, and so you can't associate with somebody that hates that you're now of the Lord. You got to just divorce yourself completely from them. Jesus said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Those that serve the Lord. That's my mother. Those are my brethren." So your flesh brothers, sisters, mother or dad, are not your real mother or dad or brethren. The ones that are the part of the body of Christ, the corporate body of Christ, the ones that serve the Lord and love Him and are not feigning Christianity, but are really consecrated. They have themselves on the altar, and they're just not trying to build a career in the church or outside of the church. They're just saying, "Lord, whatever it is that you want me to do, I'll do it." When I first got saved, I did not want to even call myself a minister, a pastor. I didn't even want to call myself a saved person because I was so ashamed of all the preachers and teachers that I've seen in the gospel field down through the years. I did not respect any of them, and everybody that I knew called them, the different preachers, Howdy Doody. I forget which the person that was. Who was that? It's Tammy Faye and her husband. They called him Howdy Doody. And all the musicians in the industry, and come to find out that, you know, they're just fundraisers, and they were committing adultery and homosexuality, and the people in, it's just a horrible cesspool of corruption, that which is supposed to be the Christian world, and it's horrible. And so I didn't want, and I still to this day, when people, they don't know me, I just tell them, "Well, you know, they say, are you a Christian?" I say, "I'm a Christian, yes." "Well, what kind of a Christian? Are you a heretic like this one or that one on this?" "No, I'm not. You know, I just preach, I teach the Word, and I believe the Word as it's written. And I walk, you know, you have to walk in the Spirit, but I try to stay away from those kind of conversations unless it's the door opening up from the Lord for me to really witness to them, and then I come out and tell them, because I am so ashamed of those in the gospel field. And of course they make up all kinds of stories about me. I'm telling the truth about them, but they make up stories because what else can they do? They haven't got anything really bad to say that's truthful. Okay, if they're saying something bad about me, I'd like to, you know, have you mail it in. Let me explain myself. Let's hear my side of the story, all right? Or listen to my tapes. Is anyone that is that evil? Could they be preaching? Could the Lord be speaking through them as He does with me? No. So don't believe, you know, that's flesh. They're upset because I'm attempting to get them saved. And the government agents, I'm not against them. I'm the best friend they ever knew, except Jesus, and I'm trying to get them into the body of Christ. Now, Paul said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I pray not." Okay, let's go on.
Those kind of matters and the things that we want to do are not what the Lord wants us to do. Especially, we must put an end to desiring a future for ourselves, and we must completely belong to God.
Right, how does a bull that's taken to be slaughtered and then put on the altar and burnt to be a sweet-smelling savior for the Lord, how does he have any future? Your future must be the Lord, all right? Your future must be the kingdom of God. If that is your future, if that's what you've resigned yourself to have, that you've chosen the best future in the whole world, and just let the Lord use you in his way. Don't desire, if you're a singer, to be a singer. Don't desire to be a pastor, a teacher, a preacher, or anything. Just let the Lord use you as he will. And don't try to plan some future for yourself or your loved ones out in the world either. But for sure, not that. So forget about that. Just give yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to learn your word, and if you want me to do something, just tell me. And he will. Because remember, he's hearing your voice. If you're really sincere that you just want to do whatever he wants to do, his will, he'll show you. Don't worry about figuring out what your future is going to be in the Lord or out in the world, because that's not going to please the Lord. Okay, then what?
We need to think about this matter. Also, in the view of the offerings, we can look to the offerings of the Old Testament. When an animal was taken to be a sacrifice and he was offered up to God upon the altar, he was immediately taken away from the rest of the herd and all of its previous relationships with his owner. He was cut away and taken away from his master, all of the other cattle, his companions, and the place where he lived, such as a barn or a stall. After he was put on the altar and consumed by fire, he even lost the actual look that he had before.
Yeah, his appearance had completely changed. His appearance before, he had arms, you know, sort of all 4 feet and a tail and a head and horns. And everything that ordinary ox have, but then when he got chopped into pieces and put on the altar, he had no resemblance of himself. And when he was burnt, he just was a pile of ashes. Now that's where he gave himself completely, his owner did, as a sacrifice. And so there's nothing left of you to plan any future outside the body of Christ or in the body of Christ. You just let the Lord take it over. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
All of his number one parts were changed to become a sweet-smelling savor to God, and the only thing that was left was a heap of ashes. Everything was done away with, and everything was put to an end. And this was the result of this animal being offered to God as a sacrifice. And because of the fact that our consecration is also an offering to God, the end result must also be the same. There absolutely must be the giving up of everything to be burned to ashes by the Lord, to the actuality where everything of us is put to an end or terminated.
Right, that's what it means, that we're nailed to the cross with Christ. And at the cross we're resurrected into a new life. The Lord is not going to have our bodies burned because he wants to do a work in and through us. But you must resemble the figure or symbol or type of that ox or lamb, and just let the Lord do with you so that you can become a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. He may want you to be a witness. He may want you to just be a helper. He may want you to be a singer. He may want you to eventually be just a good servant and one that helps out in the church and keeps the church clean. And, I mean, this is one of the things that the Lord had me do at first, is to clean toilets. And I had to go to work at a motel in Las Vegas, and I wound up being the manager and the person. We had a wedding chapel right next door. It was called the Calneva Motel. It might still be there. And it was called the Cupid Wedding Chapel. And I'd have to run from one business to the other. They were next door to each other. I had to check people into their motel rooms. And then when they left in the morning, I had to go in there and take all the dirty sheets and pillowcases, go in and clean the showers and the toilets and the sinks, and take all the stuff and send it to the laundry, because I was the only one there except Sue, my wife, and that the good Lord gave me. And here she would just be in the house, and she would just cook, and I'd say, come on, I want to tell her, can you just help? But I knew that she always says, no, you're Tarzan and I'm Jane. You do the work with the sweat of your brow, and like I take care of the house. So she'd cook a little bit, And then I'd see her on the floor with a couple of cans of Campbell's soup, and she'd be doing exercises with them like that. And I'm on top of the roof fixing the swamp coolers with these little ply wheels with a 110 degrees temperature outside. And after I clean the toilets, the sinks, the showers, the bed, the bedroom, vacuum, and then lock the doors up real nice and send everything off to the laundry and all the other details, and then somebody'd ring the buzzer and I'd run over there, and there'd be a person that and his future wife wanting to get married, so I'd have to call. I wasn't registered in the state of Nevada, so I'd have to call a minister over to marry him, and I'd have to see their license to make sure that they were had gotten a license, and then ask them, are you a Protestant or what do you want to get married by? And back then I wasn't that strict, you know, and because I didn't know the Bible that well, but now I do. And so I wouldn't do anything like that. I mean, I don't marry anybody unless I know you're of the Lord. And I've married people that, an old man and woman, they came in there and they got married. And he says, well, I take care of her anyway, and it just doesn't look right for us not to be married, and we're not doing anything, but I want to get married. And then I got word. The police called about three, four hours later, and they'd gotten in a head-on collision down, headed into Los Angeles, and they were both killed. And, I mean, there's just so many memories that I have from doing the things that the Lord allowed me to do. And we prayed them through before they left. So thank God they made it into heaven. Amen?
Amen.
I got so many stories like that I could tell you, you know, if time allowed. But so I didn't plan. You think that I planned as a career to clean toilets? You're out of your mind, man. I was Tony Alamo, you know, in the record industry, the world's greatest promoter of singers. I promoted Sonny and Cher, Best of the Beatles. I owned a Beatles album. Lord wouldn't let me sell it. And so I knew I was afraid of the Lord, that he would smite me and kill me and send my soul to hell. So I did what he wanted me to do. I became like a burnt offering, a sacrifice that was acceptable to him. You're only acceptable if you just do everything he says. And you can't know that unless you just submit yourself to the altar as a sacrifice. It's just a sacrifice, it's a gift unto the Lord to do with what he wants to. When I give you a box of candy, or if I give you an automobile, you know, that's yours. I mean, you can eat it, or you can set it on the shelf, or you can give it away. And I can't get angry if you give something away that I gave to you, because it's yours to do with what you want. If you run it over a cliff, it's yours, not my name longer. And if I give myself to the Lord, I'm his. If he runs me over the cliff, if he puts me in the toilets to clean them, and on the roof 110 degrees, he's putting me through some fire to see if I'm going to be obedient to do the things that goes along with that particular job. And I said, my wife, you know, what kind of a wife is this? I thought, you know, wives had to do something too. No. The bell would ring, somebody's coming into the motel. And I'd say, well, I wonder if she's going to go. Nope, she's just sitting there pumping those cans of soup. And I'd have to run out there and say, oh, good afternoon. Can I help you? Yeah, do you have a room? Yes, sir, we sure do. How many people? Just me and my wife. And okay, just sign the register here and your license plate and so on and so forth. And the whole routine of running a motel. And it was like a Z-rated motel, too, the Calneva. It's not like the Calneva out in Tahoe, which Frank Sinatra had something to do with. One night I got a call at the Calneva Motel, and he says, is Frank there? I said, you got the wrong Calneva. you're talking about, go to Reno, okay? All right, but anyway, let's keep going, okay?
If evidence of our putting away of everything that we had and that we have been burnt to ashes is not seen in a Christian, there is something wrong with his consecration.
Oh, he's not consecrated. Amen. Okay, and then what?
A lot of Christians have a lot of desires and hopes regarding their own consecration, of becoming such a type of a Christian or that kind of a Christian.
Right. They choose their career in the Lord, or their future. They start planning their future instead of giving themselves to the Lord and let him doing with them what he will. I had a $100 million Beatles album in my hand, And I said, Sue, let me go over to these casinos and we're broke. And let me give it to them for a slot prize. In other words, like if they hit a jackpot, they get a free Beatles album with Pete Best and all the people. I got this album from Pete Best, Rogue Best's brother, who was the original drummer with the Beatles, because his mother had recorded 6 albums, and he wanted me to do the promotion for him. And the New York record label called me and says, Pete Best wants to know if you'll do the promotion for him. And I says, does he have any money? He says, here, talk to the kid. So he puts him on. He says, hello. I says, hello. I says, Pete. And he says, will you do the promotion for me? And I says, you got any loot? And he says, well, I got me Beatles album. And I says, what do you mean? He says, I own 6 Beatle albums. I'll give you a Beatle album if you'll do the promotion for me. I says, I'll do it. Okay. Just give me the Beatles album. So far, I've not sold it. It's just there. And I've had it for over 41 years now. Because I want, I know the Lord doesn't want me to sell it. And I keep it to show people that I'm not in the ministry for money. Okay? I'm in here to serve the Lord. And the Lord doesn't want me to sell it. So I'm a burnt offering on the altar, just letting the Lord rule me until the time that I give up the spirit. Give up and enter the heaven. I don't want to do anything on my own. And you know something? The Lord has always taken good care of me. I've never missed meals, except when I go on a fast. And we've always paid our bills. He'll do the same for you. He's no respecter of persons. But be willing to, you know, get down off your high horse. And if you have to clean the toilets and whatever you got to do to get into heaven. You know, if people are in hell, if you told them you can get out of hell if you just clean some toilets and a shower and get up on the roof and mess with some flywheels up there, and Mary, you can take, run over to the Mary's thing and check people into the hotel, take the bed linens off, wouldn't you do that? Well, do that before you're in hell, amen, or whatever. Maybe the Lord won't ask you to do that. He did that to me because I really thought I was a big Gonza Mahop, a big shot, you know. But, but I knew that that's what he was doing to me, because I had a very good overseer over me, was Sue. And she'd been in the ministry for years, and she knew all the, you know, the different pitfalls and the things to stay away from. And so I listened to her, and thank God. She says, Tony, if you'll do that, he's got big plans for you. I've never heard anybody get as many visions and dreams and all these different signs and wonders that you've had, and he wants to use you in a major way. Now, all the other ministries are going to be jealous of you. They're going to want to just see you put in prison, and the governments and everybody's going to be against you because you're so honest. You're brutally honest. And she said, but just start preparing yourself for sorrow. And so I says, gosh, well, you know, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Any of these works that are not getting persecuted, Tony, they're certainly not of the Lord. And there's a lot of them that feign persecution so that they look as though they're a work of the Lord, but they're really not. And she'd show me how each one of them was failing the Lord and were not of the Lord and were unscriptural and everything else, and that they're just fun, fun, fun. All right, let's continue on here.
This proves that their future hasn't been given up, has not been put to an end. That which we look for in the future I'm speaking about includes not only our career or future in this world, but also our future or career in the so-called Christian world. We all know how the world naturally is and how the world attracts us and offers the hope of a bright, prosperous future in it, that even those that call themselves Christians, the so-called Christian world, holds an attraction to people and offers them a hope of a future in it. There are some, for example, who hope to become a famous preacher or teacher, some to have a worldwide ministry, evangelizing everywhere, and some to obtain a degree of doctor or divinity.
Susie used to call them doctors of stupidity. Because, you know, we don't see any of the people in the Bible having doctors of divinity. Certificates to hang on their wall, you know, to impress people. If I was going to be in a situation where I wanted to impress people, I'd become a politician. You know, I'd kiss their babies and shake their hands and promise them two chickens in the pot and a car in the garage and out on the driveway, too. But I'm not a politician. And I'm not interested in telling people fallacies. I just want to tell you the truth. I just want to please the Lord by telling you the truth. Because if I tell you the truth and you receive it, the truth will set you free. And who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, the eternal life. No one can come unto the Father but by me. Anyone attempting to come to the Lord by Buddha or Paramahansa Yogananda or the Pope or Mary or any other name, he says, you're like a thief and a robber. Or Muhammad, any of these false gods that people make gods, them gods. Mary's no god. She's not a deity. She was just a little incubator that the Lord had bore his only begotten son. All right, and I've done messages on that on tapes and in literature, and so you know, I haven't just refer to my literature to one of my tapes, and you'll hear that I've got another message here now. Let's go.
All these are hopes, vain hopes for the future. You know, Christians, if we have been given the life of the Lord, we will discover that even in our fantasizing, our hope for more fruit in our work, our hope for more people to be saved through our gospel preaching, our hope to lead more brothers and sisters to love the Lord, and our hope for more local Christians to be built by our hands, even in these hopes, there are many hidden elements which are for the building up of our own future.
Yeah, so don't hope for anything that the Lord doesn't, don't plan your own hopes. Have hope in the Lord's word that if he uses you, you have great hope that you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's all you should be hoping for. And whatever the Lord lays on you, then you can have great hope that whatever he tells you to do will be successful. Like he told me to open a church, he told me to preach the gospel, he told me to open a school, and since then, I mean, I've had the school going now for, I don't know, I guess it's around 30 years now or more, and a lot of people have graduated from it, and it was something that he told me to do, and I don't worry about it. I just knew that everything was going to be fine, and it has been. Okay, then what?
And our future has to be put to an end. When many people see the prosperity of others, they become envious. When we see the achievement of others, many people's hearts are moved. Everything like this shows that we still have our eye on the future, in our own future, that is. All these hopes, however, never exist in a consecrated person. A truly consecrated person is a person who has totally given up his own desires, his own hopes, his own future. He abandons not only his hopes and dreams and fantasies in the future, in the world, but also his so-called spiritual future. This kind of person no longer has hopes for himself in anything. All his hope
all their hope is in the Lord. Okay, then what?
Not
themselves or what they want, but what the Lord wants. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
He lives purely and simply in the Spirit of the Lord. He is what God desires for him to be and does exactly what the Lord wants him to do.
Now, some people might take that, well, I guess we shouldn't do anything. Oh, no. I mean, there's jobs in the church and we have to be zealous to do it and everything, but just don't be planning some future other than what the immediate work is that you're supposed to do. I had to be on the ball in that motel and that wedding chapel because they were coming in like steady streams, especially on the weekend. People wanted to get married Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the month of June, oh boy, everybody wanted to be a June bride, you know, and a groom. And it was like on the 4th of July, the place was just packed out. Well, I lived in Las Vegas for, you know, quite a while. And, you know, 2 or 3 years I've lived in Las Vegas. And, of course, we didn't take part in that carnival on the side of the road, the strip and downtown area, but we were in the gospel field there, just letting the Lord use me the way he wanted to use me. However, we did witness to a lot of people that were pit bosses and owners of casinos. I can't tell you how many different people that were in the black, in the green felt jungle, they call it. It's a book. Their names were in there, and I witnessed to those people, old men. And after I witnessed to them, they died. One of them says, "I think you have indigestion." I says, "Well, old man, you got one foot on a banana peel and the other one in a funeral home. You're going to go out to meet God real soon, and you're going to find out whether I was telling you the truth or not." I gave my testimony how the Lord spoke to me. And sure enough, his name was Adolf Berman. He was over the Sahara, the Flamingo, and several other, the Del Webb Association, the Mint, the Fremont Hotel down there. Very wealthy Jewish man. And he had a gown shop over in in Hollywood. And I witnessed to that guy. God called me because I witnessed to people that most people are afraid to even look at. I'm not afraid at all to witness to anybody. Okay, and then what else? If the Lord points me to him, I'm going after him, all right? Then what else? I've witnessed to the Wynn, Steve and Kenny Wynn, the mother, Elizabeth, before she died. And they were even modeling my clothes, Phyllis Wynn, who owns the major casinos in Las Vegas. I witnessed to everybody. I've witnessed to Frank Sinatra, to Bob Hope. As a matter of fact, John Wayne, his favorite preacher was Susie Alamo, my wife. He used to say that to everybody. And so we've witnessed to lots and lots of people. Okay, go ahead.
Whatever the outcome may be, he doesn't know and doesn't really care. He only knows that he is a sacrifice completely belonging to God. The altar is forever the place where he lives and stands, and he is a heap of ashes forever, which is the result of letting the Lord burn him out.
Right. See, now, I wanted to witness to the movie stars, but the Lord wouldn't let me. I had to go down to the streets to the hippies, and so I just let him do that. And in the interim, a lot of these movie stars were on the street just playing clothesmen, and our people would be handing them literature. One of them, they saw Liz Taylor, and he passed her a tract right through the, in New York, right through her silver cloud Rolls Royce window. She had it rolled down, and she went around the block and waved at him and says, "I've read your tract, I've read your literature," and waved at him. And I got that word. We've had gotten the literature to the presidents, everybody. And so if I did obediently what the Lord wanted me to do, eventually we got witness to everybody, you know? Everybody, the presidents, the vice president, everybody in the White House, kings, queens, everybody. Okay, let's keep going. And the Lord will do the same for you. Don't be envious, because I didn't want that. I didn't want to do all that. I just didn't want to do anything that the Lord didn't want me to do. I had no desire. I can't understand people wanting to be something. Just be thankful that you're saved, you know, and let the Lord do with you what he wants. Then what else?
His future has been utterly abandoned. This is what the giving up of the future is. It is not a reluctant act after something has already occurred to wipe your future hopes out. It is a willingness surrendered before such an event. It isn't waiting till you have lost or failed in your business and then be willing to give up your future. It isn't waiting till you lose your job, till you cannot enter college, or till you fail to obtain a PhD.
Or it isn't until you get thrown in prison, then you have jailhouse salvation. Because, oh, everybody gets saved in jail. They think it'll be good to mention to the parole board. That's not real salvation. That's jailhouse salvation. Okay, then what?
It isn't anything like this when I speak of giving up. I'm talking about the future. I mean that when a possible business opportunity comes your way, when an excellent job awaits you, or when a PhD degree is just waiting for you, to willingly give it all up for the Lord's sake, for the gospel. This is truly called the giving up of the future. Even if the entire glory of Egypt is placed before you, you will be able to say to it, quote, goodbye, I must be on my way to Canaan land, unquote. Maybe Satan will continue to call you from behind saying, do please come, come back to me. I have a PhD degree or some high title waiting for you right here in the Egyptian palace.
Come back to me, dear heart. Remember, we used to be friends. Don't do it. Okay, then what?
And it's all for you. This is a very great opportunity for you and very rare. If at this time you can face the devil and tell him straightly, quote, be gone, these are not my portion, unquote. This then is a true giving up of the future. It is a very grievous situation today. Many who serve the Lord have a future in the Christian world. You must understand that this is a very serious degradation to the Lord. If this doesn't prove there was something wrong with the original consecration of those kind of people, people that are not concerned, it does prove they have fallen off the altar. A truly consecrated person absolutely knows from the outset that his future is through. If he still wants to have a future, he need not come to the church. He realizes that he must never have any future because he's already on the altar, burning there spiritually. Sometimes a Christian comes to the place of difficulty and finds that he has no courage because this difficulty proves to him that he is still on the altar and still under God's guidance. Sometimes he enters into a period of ease and he becomes, on the contrary, a little fearful, wondering if perhaps he has a future. So these kind of people have fallen off the altar and they are no more under God's guidance. So Christians out there, you need frequently to ask yourself, what is the result of our consecration? Has our all become ashes on the altar? Has all our future been abandoned, or have we reserved something that is hopeful? Every one of us must stand before God and allow him to deal with us thoroughly with this problem of consecration. If our consecration is not sound, tomorrow or later problems will arise in our services and in our spiritual condition. The temptations of future generations are particularly severe. These temptations are particularly severe to those who are especially gifted and can be used outwardly to some extent by the Lord.
All right. That was consecration. I pray that that message, with some of the experiences that I've experienced, like I've had all these years that Beatles album, and the devil keeps saying, you could make hundreds of millions of dollars for the gospel if you just put that out. But then I wouldn't know that it was the Lord that blessed me, and the Lord told me not to do that. And so that's been, you know, a temptation that Satan kept tempting with. Go on, put it out. Well, you don't know really that that was the Lord that told you that, and all this sort of thing. And so I just sort of speak, you know, I come against him in the blood of Jesus, and I just go on, and every time I do that, the Lord blesses me. And we weren't able to get to the 13th chapter of Mark today with this 37 verses. However, we might be able to get to it tomorrow. But I do have a message from the Psalms, 116th chapter. And we did read a little bit of that today, how that the Lord inclines his ear unto you. So, dear loved brothers and sisters, keep consecrated. Let the Lord lead, guide, and direct you. Get on the altar. One thing you know for sure, he wants you to witness to people and testify and distribute literature to them. And we'll help you with all the literature you need. Open up a little church in some place there in town, wherever you're at. And until tomorrow, God bless you. This is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.